Well, good morning, folks. It's good to be here, I think. You know, I don't know if you want me here or not now. I'm glad to see y'all. It's been almost a year, and I always look forward to getting a message or a phone call from somebody at Camp Creek to say, can you fill the pulpit again? This is a second home for me and Dawn, for Dawn and I. I don't know what's proper anymore. Anyways. We enjoy being with you guys so much, and we're glad that you invite us back. Some of you look younger than ever, and then there's the rest of us. I was humbled last week, and humility's a good thing. It really is. I got to play golf with my oldest grandson, and he beat me. The worst part of it is he's only 13. So I went to bed that night thinking, okay, Lord, what have I done that I needed to be humbled that much, you know? But things change, don't they? All right. Florida was good this winter. It was a little chilly. We came back in April. I wanted to see some of my grandsons play ball, and my youngest son coaches baseball, and I wanted to see some of his games. And as we got home, I thought, I don't think it's going to be worth it. It's just too cold. So anyways, it's Indiana. Well, this morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. I'm not going to go into great detail. As you can see, you should have an outline. And let me explain what I'm trying to say here. That's not going to stay there. Okay. If you look at the outline I gave you, it's all there. You can add notes to it if you would like to. I recommend you would, but that's up to you. But we're going to talk today about a journey of faith. And all of us here are on a journey of faith. Young folks, whether you're high school or elementary school or college graduates, I know Tanner just graduated, and congratulations. It's hard to believe it's already there, isn't it? You know, I was talking to your mom, and I said, well, get used to it. Things are going to change quickly. So here we go. But we're all on a journey of faith. One way or another, we are all on a journey of faith. And chapter 11 of Hebrews is called, I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's called the Hall of Faith, like the Hall of Fame. Well, this is the Hall of Fame of those who walk by faith. And as you can see, what I've listed there, we're going to talk about Joseph today. And the references, we're not going to be able to go through all those. That's a lot of stuff to cover, a lot of information. But Genesis 37, 39, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to point these things out to you, and I gave you the outline so you could find them on your own, the stories I'm going to talk about briefly. Because what I want to focus on is the second part of the message, which is keys to a strong faith. If there was ever a time that we needed to have a strong faith in my lifetime, we always need it every day of our life, but with the conditions and events that are taking place in the world on a daily basis, not just our own country, but around the world. If you haven't, I hope you're believers of this, but the end days are coming. I've heard that since I was 8 years old. Oh, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. I used to go home at night and cry because I didn't want to leave yet. You know, I was an eight-year-old kid. But it's all part of God's plan, His prophecy, everything is going to take place. Well, as we get closer and closer to that day, which only God knows, it's a reality. The conditions in our country, we live in such a great country. It's still the greatest country in the world. But what's scary now is that the morality of our country has slipped so much. Wouldn't you agree? My heart breaks for my own boys as they're raising their children. Because what are they raising their children into? I remember as an 8-year-old being a Cub Scout, okay? And I can remember that on Memorial Day weekend, we would march in our, I lived in Western New York, a town of about 30,000. And I remember we'd march in the parade, all the Cub Scouts. And it was, sounds kind of corny now, doesn't it? But I think we've lost that respect, love, and our respect, our reverence for our country. Because now it's like, well, why would you want to do that? It was an honor for us. We were taught to honor the country. And I can remember marching in that parade and thinking it was the coolest thing ever. Boy, times have changed. We've lost respect for one another. Maybe you don't see it as much here. We live in this city now, and it's a different world. It's hard. I'm not going to go. That's not why I'm here today. But it's a shame now that the politics of our nation has determined so much of our moral values and standards. Have you caught that? We just had a state. There's states in the last few months that have tried to legalize abortion, even though it is. But they're trying to legalize abortion, and then you've got places that are trying to stop the abortions. And if you go on social media, the name-calling and the disrespect for people, whether it's a president or a congressman or a principal or a superintendent in a school system to everything in between, there's such an anger out there. There's such a nastiness out there that as you're raising your children, young folks, you got to overcome that. But for all of us today, we are on a journey of faith. And this journey is so important, but yet this journey can be very, very discouraging, right? You ever suffer from discouragement? Of course you do. We live in a fallen world. You ever have fallen times of depression? I forgot the percentage now, but the percentage of people who are depressed, going through times of depression in their country, is astronomical. It's ridiculous. And so, but it happens. So as we look at this journey of faith, if you'll look in your Bibles, can I get a volunteer to come hold this all up for me? That's not going to work either. All right. As we look into Hebrews, I want to read a few verses for us. You didn't see that. Okay. What's that? Oh, that's okay. We'll make it. We're all right. All right. Turn to Hebrews. This is not a great start after getting screamed at by a microphone. And, Cindy, thank you. Right there's fine. You'll get a trophy in heaven for that, okay? All right, Hebrews. Let me jump in. Hebrews. We're talking about faith. Now, this is what how the Lord defines faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And that's how God created the heavens and the earth, from nothing. From the dust of the earth he made us. What's the point? This is the hall of faith. Quickly. It says, by faith, Abel. Remember Abel? It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. It goes on. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. And we get Isaac. By faith, we already talked about Abraham. Somewhere in here is Moses. Now, there was a man of great faith, wouldn't you think? You think about what he did. He goes into a country and said, I'm taking my people out of here. And the people in charge of the country go, oh, no, you're not. And he says, oh, yeah, we are. And by faith, got to remember, Moses was not a great theologian. Moses was not a great orator. He was a man who basically was just a humble man. In fact, remember what he said to God? He said, I can't do this thing. I stutter. He said, I have a voice problem. But by faith, he did what God wanted. So just as it is in any Hall of Fame, football or baseball or basketball, it takes special priorities, special abilities to be in that Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame. For us, it's the Hall of Faith today. This is what we are going to spend some time looking at is one man. One man. Our pastor at our church did a series on the journeys of faith, and he asked me to preach about Noah. It was Noah. I remembered that at the time, okay? But it was Noah. And I'm thinking, Noah, I mean, come on, couldn't you give me something like Abraham or, you know, somebody cool like whomever? But then as I got studying, I said, that was a narrow point of view. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. There's an old song about that. But the point about Noah was, got to keep in mind that he had to build a ship. What was a ship? They didn't have them. And it's going to rain and flood the earth. They'd never had rain before. And as I studied the life, just that life of that man, Noah, and what he did, the Lord really challenged me with, how strong, David, is your faith? Really? I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember. I accepted Christ as a child. And I look back over my life, and I had times where my faith was really strong. And then I had times when I couldn't be bothered to deal with my, just didn't bother to deal much with my faith. I just lived day to day. But as I studied Noah, and then for this message here, I studied Joseph. Remember the young kids? Jack, I'm sure you've told the story. This is the Joseph with the coat of many colors. He was a special young man, and he found favor in his father, and that led to a lot of problems for him. Nothing like dropping things, though. Okay. So if you look at your outline today, we're looking at Joseph's walk of faith, his journey. And we are on one, too. So I hope that this message relates to who you are in the eyes of God. And I hope that it's going to cause you to challenge yourself to think about your faith. Because if you have a weak faith or you don't deal with your faith, Satan just, he loves it. He does not want us to be strong Christians. He doesn't want us to be strong followers of Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you things you haven't heard before. But the point of all of this is we're going to look at Joseph. Joseph was the youngest in his family. You remember the story? And his dad really, really loved him. Maybe because it was the last child. I don't know. But from the background of that, we know that he loved Joseph in special ways. So here is what we're looking at. We're looking at Joseph faced challenges just as you and I face challenges. As I studied this passage, there was things that came up in my mind that God was putting there. And there were things that when I've gone through difficult times, we've all been sick with something or been in an accident or whatever it might have been. We've all had times of financial challenges and struggles. We've had times when, in my case, I never really enjoyed school very much. I went to a high school of 2,200 kids, and that was only three grades. Poor me. And I was lost in that school. And my high school experience wasn't very good until my junior year, and some friends from my school and from another church got me involved in campus life, Youth for Christ. That's what turned my life around. That's when my journey of faith really became stronger. Okay? So the first thing we look at quickly is Joseph faced a trial of betrayal and bitterness. Think about what his brothers did to him. They took him out in the desert. They dug a hole and threw him in it because they did not like him, because he was the favored son. Well, don't you think that might give you the feeling of betrayal and bitterness in his life? But somehow, his faith in God was strong enough. And his brothers, it was so bad that his brothers went back. Just to kind of emphasize this as I was studying, it gave me a thought. It was so bad living in that home that the boys went back home and told their dad that his favorite son had died out in the desert and he was gone. Now, how cruel was that, you know? But you know what happened. That's what was supposed to, but God intervened. God took care of him, sold him to some guys, and he ended up in another country. And as the story goes, he became quite successful at what he did. Genesis 39 talks about his temptation. They say that Joseph was a very good-looking young fella. And the ladies liked to be near him and around him, and you can only imagine how they talked about him. Well, he was attractive, and he was in Potiphar's home. Potiphar was one of the leaders of the country, and this was a big deal. And his wife was trying to get him to fall into sin with her sexually. And he had to deal with that. The temptation was great. And yet, he didn't give in. That was part of his journey of faith, was that God delivered him from a bad situation. How about discouragement? She finally got her way, and he ended up being put in prison, remember? She lied and said he was trying to attack me and do whatever, and it wasn't the truth, and he ends up in prison. How do you think he feels? He's already been abandoned by his family. He's already been, you know, kicked out of the house by the brothers. There was bitterness and resentment there. The temptation was there, and like, who would have known? And then he gets to discouragement. He's in prison. I've visited prisons before. I was there for maybe an hour, hour and a half visiting someone that I knew. And I couldn't wait to get out the door. And I wasn't even a prisoner. But I felt like one. You go into a prison and they open the doors. And as you walk through it, they slam the door shut behind you. Reality's there. When I was up in Jackson, Michigan, in my first church I served with my brother, which was a privilege, I was his associate pastor, and I remember we had a ministry at Jackson Prison, which is at the time was the largest walled prison in the world at the time. And it was a scary place. And I'm thinking about Joseph. Here he is. He hadn't done anything. She lied, and he gets put in prison, and he's got to be thinking, well, God, where are you in all of this? But you know, he didn't become bitter, and he didn't become angry. And then if you go to Genesis 41, you'll see an example of what takes place there. He has now been, remember, he interpreted dreams for the king, and remember, he was rewarded for that by a high position. In fact, he basically ran the country. And I don't have time to go into all the details, but remember, he eventually became the leader that helped the country survive during the time of famine. And his own family came thinking he was dead, came and stood before him, knelt before him, and do you remember, he gave them food so they could live, and they finally figured out that that was Joseph. Well, you know, he had a lot of power. He had a lot of prestige. I mean, he was the man. He was the man. And yet, that was part of his journey. But it didn't go to his head. He had the palace. He had power. He had prestige. He was somebody. He was somebody. Well, that's his journey in a nutshell right there. What I want us to understand today is, and I put there in the middle of the outline, I put down no compromise. He did not compromise, and God honored it. How do we live in a world that there's no moral standard to speak of as the world goes? How do we live in a world where the end days are coming for us? How do we live in a world like that and thrive and survive? We've not gone through these things, that his challenges, but we have challenges. You've lost a job. Maybe your family's crumbling. Maybe someone who's dear to you has died. That's a humbling experience. When I was in YFC, I was on staff in YFC in Fort Wayne for a couple years. One of my good friends on staff, in fact, he and I were doubles partners in college. And his brother is my age, and we're very good friends. Don't see as much of each other as we once did. But he and his wife were killed in a car accident while he was serving on staff. That was discouraging. That was painful. But yet, through all of it, we, YFC people, we were able to withstand the sorrow. His mom and dad ended up moving to Fort Wayne from Ohio to be with their younger son, Jerry. They only had two boys. And what a godly man. I think back in my lifetime of godly men who have been in my life. And Milt Noble was one of them. See, God's going to provide as we walk with him. And we have to keep that in mind. There's two words that we're going to talk about today, and I already read it. We're talking about faith, and we're talking about hope. And that's the reason I brought the hymn book up, but we'll get to that, I hope, in a little bit. All right? But if you got your outline there, you can look. And this is what I jumped on right away. Okay, there's the challenge that he had. Now I have on the bottom, keys to a strong faith. The first one I have is what? Know the Word of God. I don't know where you are in your walk with God right now, but if you're walking with God, you need to know your Scriptures. If you're not walking with God, you really need to know the Scriptures. It says there, know the Word of God. And I always say this. Everybody knows about it. But we have to know it deep inside. We have to believe that this is God's written and holy word. Because over time it's been proven that it is. And of course we live by it. So if I haven't lost my markers, here we go. Let me share these verses with you. Know the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to preserve yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Okay? What's the other verse I put down? Chapter 3, verse 15. Very familiar verse. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. It doesn't sound right. It sounds like it's less than great. That's not the exact meaning of it. Equipped for every good work. Know the Word of God. So I say to you young families, you parents, raising your children in a difficult time, make sure you know the Word of God. You don't need to be deep theologians. You just need to be people who are deeply in love with God and deeply in love with the Word of God. And of course, you're in love with your children. But the Scriptures teach us, know the Word of God, not just about it. Other verses in Scripture from the book of Psalms, what does it say? Your Word have I hid in my heart so that I may not, what? Sin against you. Now that shows folks a couple things. One, God is powerful. We don't have to sin. If you're tempted to sin, you can say, God, deliver me from this temptation. It might mean you physically get up and leave. It might mean you have to sit there and put yourself into some prayer time right there on the spot and say, God, I don't want to do this. This is wrong. Lord, I'm discouraged today. Lord, I'm depressed today. If you've ever had to deal with a depression in life, in your life, it's not easy. It's very, very difficult. So you hide God's word in your heart. You need to know it. I was in your pastor's office this morning, as we always pray beforehand. And being a pastor myself, I look around at his books. Like I told you, my oldest brother is a pastor for over 60 years now. But I looked at Pastor Rogers' books. And I looked in there and I went, this is a man. Of course, you knew this before he came. He graduated from seminary just down the road. But he's showing proof of it. I've heard him preach one time, if you remember, one time. And I knew this is a man who loved the Word of God and loved to teach you about the Word of God. I looked at his books and I kind of smiled and I said, this is, because I don't have as many as I did. I found a young pastor that needed some books. And so a lot of them went that way. But I stood there and I said, oh, I've had that book, and I got that book, and I got that book, and I used to have that book. And that. What I'm telling you is, he loves the Word of God, and he loves teaching it to you. You've got to be able to accept what's being taught from God's Word, not just up here in your head, but in your heart. You want to have a journey of faith? Grandparents, do you want your grandchildren to one day look at you after maybe you're gone? Look at your life and say, Grandpa really loved the Lord. Grandma really loved Jesus. If there's something I remember about my mother, is Jack, she would be up here where you are teaching the children. Yeah, and I remember she reached a point in her life where she couldn't deal with the kids anymore because of her age. She lived to be 89, and she felt so bad, and she said, I feel so useless at the church. And the pastor had to counsel his mother. She often counseled me, so I thought it was only fair, you know. And I said to my mom, Mom, are you still able to sit in a chair and hold a baby? And she looked at me. I says, can't you rock babies anymore in the nursery? Well, yeah. I says, is there anybody here who has young babies? Do you like if some grandma takes care of your kids during church time, rocking them back and forth? Sure you do. And that became a simple ministry for her. But I know from other people telling me that she would sit there and sing some beautiful children's songs to those kids. See, that's knowing the Word of God and then letting it exist through you into your life. Don't think you're too old to serve. It's not possible. How about hearing the voice of God? This is a controversial thing, isn't it? People say, I heard the literal voice of God. You know, I'm not going to debate that. In the Bible, people did hear the voice of God. He would speak to people, remember? But we're talking about hearing the Word of God as He would have us to you know. You ever made a decision? Or you praying about a decision? Lord, I think it's time that I get a different job. Lord, I think it's time that I move the family to a different home. Lord, I've been asked to serve on something at church. And I used to joke with the folks at Country Church. Many of you have been in the sanctuary. You know, when we added onto the church, they took the windows out of the left side as I was on the platform here. It was a blank wall. And I used to say to the people, we're leaving that blank so that God can answer my prayers, handwriting on the wall. That's about as many laughs as I got out of it when I said it. But later, people would come to me and they'd say, Pastor, why doesn't God do that? Wouldn't it be nice if you're praying about something as a church and it appeared on that wall, the answer? Wouldn't that be awesome? But you see, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Have you ever sensed God speaking to you about something? It's not just for pastors, by the way. It's for Christians. It's for people like Abraham. People like our friend here, Joseph, and many, many, many others. Hear the voice of God. What did I put there, that reference? You don't have it. Deuteronomy 27. Okay, if I can find it. There it is. Deuteronomy 27, if you want to write the reference down. Deuteronomy 27:10. It says, be silent and listen. For those of you who are school teachers, and I spent a couple years in a classroom, in a Christian high school. That's probably one of the things I prayed about the most. Would these kids be quiet so they can hear? You ever notice the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth? I used to tell that to the kids too, even my youth group in those days. Be silent and listen. God is saying, hear my voice. And sometimes we get so far ahead of God on decision making that we don't hear His voice. Sometimes we get so busy planning and doing things that we don't hear His voice. It's not that God has given up on us. It's the fact that He's speaking, but we don't hear Him any longer. And when we do, we kind of startle, just like the microphone bit us in the ear this morning. We kind of go, God? I've had people say to me, do you really think that God speaks to us? And I said, well, why not? He loves us. He created us. He sent Jesus to die. Why do you think that? I believe when you're praying about something for God's will, I believe that you will get a confirmation of what God has you to do, without a doubt. When it was time for Dawn to retire and for me to retire, I wasn't planning on retiring. you know, old pastors don't die, they just fade away. Well, I'm still fading. Okay? That's a cowboy thing, I guess. All right. You go on from there, and it says, this day you have become a people for the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I'm commanding you. You can't do the will of God or be obedient to him if you don't hear him. So we're talking about our journey of faith. Know the word of God. You don't have to know every page of the word of God, every word, but you have to know the word of God. You have to know when something comes your way, is this what God teaches us to do and to be, or is this where we're being deceived by our enemy Satan? How do you know the difference? You got to know the word. How do you know the word? You got to be able to listen. He gave us the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to interpret Scripture for us. I've studied a passage of Scripture, same passages. When I left our church, I went through my files of books, my things of books, and I went through my files of sermons, and I opened up some of the sermons, and I thought to them, because they were old, because I'd been there a while. And I looked at that some of those sermons, and I thought, what was I thinking? Why didn't they just get rid of me? They weren't that good. But God's Word was, and God's Word speaks to people. Are we listening? 28, yeah, another one is Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, there's that word again, diligently, being careful to do all its commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Doesn't mean we're going to be the rulers and the emperors. It just means our place in God's plan is up here now, way up here, more so than any government or any persons. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. So on our journey of faith, we have the Lord must become, the God must become our Lord, which means we listen, which means we know what the story of Scripture. And what we don't know or understand, you got all kinds of books out there. You got a pastor who is very much into the Word of God. Go ask him for some counsel. Pastor, I don't understand this. Pastor, I'm struggling with depression. What should I do? Pastor, that's what he's here for. You got good, close Christian friends. That's why God gives us Christian friends. Why do you think God said, don't forsake the gathering together of the saints? Can't we give up 2 hours in a week to come together in Christian fellowship? I think we can. I hope we can. But the key to this, hear the voice of God. My question is, are you listening for it? Are you listening for it? I really don't want to have God get my attention by a burning bush, okay? That'd be kind of scary. People would lock me up thinking, well, what are you doing? Who's this God of yours? He's burning down the neighborhood. Maybe. But the point of it is, let's listen to God. Let's listen to God. Let's have our ears open to what God would have. And with all the things that we have in our lives on a daily basis. You got Facebook, and now they're trying to do a new Facebook, and you've got Google, and you've got all these things, let alone the television and the radio and everything that comes with it. We need to listen for God's voice. Is it going to be verbal? Probably not. I don't think. But he's going to use his Holy Spirit to speak to us. So you want to have a journey of faith that is complete and successful? You got to listen to God. And then the last one I put down was this. And this, the things I'm saying are what Joseph did. Things I'm saying are from other of the saints that are in the Hall of Faith. The last point is this. Have a holy fear of God. Have a holy fear of God. For a while in my lifetime, I used to think I was supposed to be afraid of God. Think about that. We're not to be afraid of God. In this sense, have a holy fear of God means to have a respect, and better than that, a reverence for God. But we live a life where we come and go as we please and do what we want and get what we want and get what we need, and our lives just kind of function, and we could, again, it goes back to how Satan attacks us. Oh, you worked hard. You worked 60 hours this week. You deserve this. Well, God gave you the job. God gave you the ability to work 60 hours. Okay? But the point I'm making here, how about reverence and respect for God? Psalm 112, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." And here's the part of the verse that really I hadn't noticed before. See, I'm always learning. We're always learning. Look at verse 2 if you got your Bibles open. It says, "His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." Doesn't mean we're going to be multimillionaires, but it's going to mean we have what we need when we need it in abundance when needed. "Praise the Lord, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights in his commandments." I look back over my lifetime, I tell you, there's people, the men of my church from way back in the day. One man's name was Orville Slaughter. He was a Sunday school teacher. He was a public school teacher, and he was my Sunday school teacher. The things he taught us kids was unbelievable about life. And then I think about Uncle Don. I've talked about Uncle Don before, and he was such a happy man. But everybody he met, he told them about Jesus. That's why he was a happy man, I guess. And then I think of Milt Noble, as I've already said. I think of pastors I've had in the past. The point of it is, these men had a fear and a respect for God. And God blessed those men's lives. And look what it does for us. They have a heritage. When I die, I want a legacy, a heritage of faith. Don't you? And when we learn to respect and fear God in the proper manner of this type of thing, the respect factor, then that's what we're going to be known for. We've all been in cemeteries. I've been there. And I'll go look at the headstone sometimes. And it'll say, "He loved God. She loved Jesus. He worshiped God." That's on the headstone. Well, that wouldn't have been there unless that's what he did. Because there's a lot of things you can put on a headstone. Psalm 34:9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want." Okay? I know I've got to quit, but I'm almost done. Let me conclude this. The obvious facts that speak about our journey of faith are in the story, in this case, Joseph. He didn't compromise. He didn't compromise. You're saying, "Well, I've already done that." Well, seek forgiveness and change your life. No compromise in the daily walk with God. Joseph proved that. The same hope that Joseph had is the same hope that we have today. Let me find it. I got a new Bible. This is brand new, first time I've used it. You know why I have a new Bible? Because the print's larger. Okay? You laugh, but some of you are in that same predicament. Okay. It's not much fun. Now the pages are sticking together. All right. Oh, that's not the right one. It's over here. This is Hebrews 6:19. I told you we're talking about faith, and I already read you the description from Scripture, not a dictionary. This is the one about hope. Because not only did he have faith, not only did these people have faith in God, they had hope in God. "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. This hope we have is the anchor of the soul. I know nothing about anchors and boats. It was never my thing to go fishing, but I used to go with my brother when we were pastoring together. We could go out in the boat, he'd fish, and I had a nice boat. I could get to drive it, and that was my thrill of the week. But anyways, we were sitting there one day, and he was catching a couple fish, and then pretty soon he wasn't. And he says, did we move? I says, I don't know, did we? He said, did you drop the anchor when we got here? And I went, nope. Did I need to do that? He looked at me and he goes, of course. Okay, brother. Yeah, respect for my brother. So we dropped the anchor. But you know, the anchor we dropped for that boat was probably what, that big around? When we were on a cruise, I think it was we took a cruise to Alaska. It was awesome. And we were walking through one of the little towns, because you're there every day. And I went by and there's an anchor there that was at least 8-9 feet tall. And I'd never seen one of those in person. And I stood next to it and I kept looking at it. And as I was studying this passage again, I thought of that anchor. That anchor doesn't even compare to what God is and who God is. But when you think of an anchor, think of those big cruise ships and they drop that anchor into the water and they don't move around anymore, basically. God is our anchor, folks. No matter what your struggles are, God is the anchor of the soul. He just didn't bring us to a place of salvation and then kind of, you go figure it out. He gives us his power. He gives us his strength. He gives us his wisdom. We sang about amazing grace. Grace, God's riches at Christ's command. God's riches, that's what we've got. We don't have to wander aimlessly through our lives. We have a point to live in all that we say and do, that we do to the honor and glory of God, who is our anchor of the soul. So I ask you, how's your faith doing? And if you're struggling, how's your hope coming along? It's the anchor of the soul. You have in your hymn book, the one I kept dropping, okay? It's pretty good yet. All right. Hymn 291. You got it in front of you? We're not going to sing it because you don't want me singing it. I don't even know if you know this song. It's an old song. I took your book. Sorry, Cindy. My anchor holds. How many know this song? There's a few, see? It's the older folks. If Barb was here, she'd know it, right, Dave? Okay. My anchor holds. To the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul. I am peaceful, for I know, wildly through the winds may blow, I have an anchor safe and sure that can be evermore endure. And it goes on and says, and my anchor holds. And it's got a great bass part there. You know, it's kind of the whatever your refrain or blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail, by grace I shall not fail. You see, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds. That's what I leave you with today. How's your faith? What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? I hope you're holding on to God. We live in a pretty tough world. But you know, in the midst of all the struggles in this world, the happiest people, the most joyful people I know are believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? We've got it, folks. We've got the faith he gave us, and we've got God. God is our anchor. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your written word. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of the struggles we might have with different issues, the anchor holds. We are the ones that need to remember that and believe that. God has given us many illustrations of that in Hebrews 11 alone. But Lord, I pray that there's people here today that are struggling in your walk with you, and Lord, that's understandable. We live in a tough old world. But Lord, we don't need to struggle. We need to stand up and be counted. Lord, we need to fight the battle, but we're not alone. We're not alone. You're with us every step of the way. Lord, our hope is not a hope so. Our hope is a true fact that what God says, what you say, is going to happen. And one day, we'll be taken home to glory. That's not a hope so, it's a hope. Thank you for your written word. Thank you for the privilege of being here today. Lord, may we be blessed in the days that are ahead with your power, your faith, and your hope. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.